A new documentary explores the journey of the Australian Paralympic cycling team and their participation in the 2024 Paris Paralympics. The film Changing Track showcases not just the incredible sporting feats, but offers an intimate portrait of the struggle and preparation reaching one of the pinnacles of sport, witnessing the courage and collegiality of all involved. The Wire's Stephen Hill spoke with the film's director Tristan Kenyon and gold-winning Paralympians Emily Petricola and Corey Boddington, and asked the film's director how important it was to depict the different types of disabilities at the Paralympics.
My brother and I both co-wrote the documentary together, and one of the things that we wanted to do was explore the different reasons that someone might find themselves in the team, and we explored was effectively finding in Kane, Corey and Emily three different ways. So the first being an acquired injury, so that might that be a traumatic injury in the case of Corey, who had a series of accidents when he was younger, or for Emily it was acquiring a disease, which was MS. Third way, being born with a congenital condition, so that was Kane, and being born with albinism affects his eyesight and puts him into the low vision category. Of course, there's many other ways that, you know, you can be in Paris.
So we also have here our multi-gold medal record-holding cyclist, Emily Petricola. You were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which upturned your life and your successful career. That must have been a difficult time adjusting to the limitations of MS.
Yeah, the limitations weren't necessarily immediate. The thing with MS is it builds up over time, depending on how many relapses you have and how many plaques you've got, either in your brain or on your spinal cord. But I was really unlucky that the first 3 years were pretty horrible for me. I was pretty sick pretty consistently, so every 3 or 4 months I'd be back in hospital getting massive doses of steroids.
That's the unknown aspect too, of not knowing what's happening in front. That must be really difficult. To how do you sort of structure your life?
Well, I remember the first neurologist that I'd saw who actually gave me the diagnosis had said to me at the time, look, we won't put you on medication, we can't, because you've only had one clinical relapse. You need to have two to be put on medication. You'll just have to wait for that to happen. And I said, well, I've got a trip overseas booked in 4 months to Europe. Am I going to be able to take that trip, or should I cancel it? He said, oh, it's up to you. He goes, but what usually happens early in the disease is that people go blind. So that might happen while you're away. You'll have to think about that. And I remember just thinking, this doesn't feel that great to me, just to sit around and wait for something to happen.
So how important was cycling to be able to, you know, be able to re-engage with community, to be able to keep fit?
To be honest, it wasn't so much the community initially for me. It was more about regaining a sense of my identity from before I was sick, because I'd always been really fit, active, healthy throughout my entire life. Being able to get into cycling, which was a suggestion of a friend of mine, it wasn't my idea, that really connected me back into a piece of who I was before. And that sort of started this process of me reclaiming who I was again, rather than sort of just being at the behest of the illness to a degree. And I was pretty depressed. And so getting back into sport was the first time where I'd been able to really recognise where I'd been through the journey, and allowed me to then start to step away from that part of my life and sort of step back into who I was and who I could now still be.
So we also have here another gold medalist and record holder, making me feel a bit inadequate here. So Kobe Boddington, who suffered a brain injury from a motocross accident, and he's now known as the Flying Burrito. And can you tell us a little bit about your journey becoming a gold medalist?
I had my first injury when I was about 10 years old. So I got hit by a car, I was playing cricket, hit the ball, six and out. On the way back, I got cleaned up by a car. It hit on my right side of the body, so I had a heap of damage on my right side. Fast forward, I'm getting better from that. All I want to do is go back, play footy with my mates, go surfing. But my body never fully got better. So then when I was 15, I had a motocross accident. I ended up in a coma for 3 weeks. More damage to the right side of my body. Had to learn to walk and talk again. My injuries got really bad on my right side. Like, my right arm completely got frozen. And 15 years later, it's only at about 50% strength.
While spectators get to see the finished product of bicycles moving effortlessly at rapid speed, and which a lot of preparation goes into the foundation for the, you know, the success on the track, can you tell us a little bit about how arduous the training regime is?
Yeah, so I train with the Australian elite sprint men, the able bodies. And I'd like to think I train harder than all of them. And I'm sure if you ask any other para-athlete, Emily included, she'll tell you she trains harder than them.
I don't think I train harder, but it's at least as hard. I think that the training is by its nature harder for us because we're trying to do it despite something that's not quite right with our body. I don't want to discredit the work that they do because they work incredibly hard as well, yeah. But we do it with a bigger challenge in front of us.
Yes, that was correct.
So what's it like? I mean, you've both got careers. Yeah. I mean, that must be hard. I'm assuming you have to get up really early.
The key is to get into bed nice and early because my day starts at about 4 o'clock. So I get to the gym, do my couple hours in the gym, and then I'm straight to work. I'm either working or working.
Different sort of work.
So the idea of free time is a bit of a...
life takes a real hit when you've chosen this.
Tristan Kenyon, Emily Petricola and Corey Boddington there, speaking with The Wire's Stephen Hill.